No, I'm asking that the one second call be approved internal or put in silence. As we ask our pastor, Roy, to come and minister us as the Lord has led.
Thank you, Stephanie. What a wonderful reminder that the Lord will never leave us nor forsake us. He doesn't always move the storm, but He always gives us the strength to endure it. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence with us this morning. And now, Lord, we pray that you'll speak to us again. Use even me, Lord. And may your message for us today be clear. So may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O God, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. The rich fool's plan. Most people today think they have their lives all planned. They plan to go to college, get a career, get a good job, get married, raise a family, live happily ever after, traveling the world and enjoying life. But we have all heard the phrase, man makes one plan, but God makes another. Often we make big plans for the future without consulting God. We plan to build bigger homes, drive better cars, wear better clothes, take longer vacations without a thought about what God's plan for us is. But a plan without God is a bad plan. In Luke chapter 12, we see in verses 16 through 28 that Jesus told a parable of a rich man. A man whose ground brought forth plentifully. So much so that he had not enough room to store his fruit and goods. What shall I do? He said. But for the answer to his question, he consulted the wrong book. He consulted his bank book instead of the Bible. The man had no concern for anyone else but himself. He did not consult the Bible, which teaches to love your neighbor. He did not consult the Bible, which teaches kindness to those in need. He did not consult Philippians 4 verse 11, which says, "For I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." He did not understand what Jesus meant in verse 15 when he said, "A man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." Instead, he was all about himself and his own comfort. This rich man consulted his bank book and his own sense of greed, which motivated him to tear down his barns, build greater ones. And he said in verse 18, there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. Humans have a tendency to hoard. Many will collect so many more things than they will ever use in a lifetime, or save so much more money than they will ever need without thinking of anyone else. Now, having a lot is not a sin, but it's what you do with it that's important. This rich man was all about his own ease and comfort. In verse 19 he says, I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But this man's focus was on his body rather than upon his soul. But my friends, the body is temporary. Man is like a vapor which appears for a time and then vanishes away. But the soul is forever. Psalm 90 says, so teach us to number our days so that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Wisdom to know that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Wisdom to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Here's a man whose focus was on his temporary life and not upon what comes after. For what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? So many of us live lives like that man, saying, soul, eat, drink, and be merry, for I have many years yet to live. Where did you get that information from, that you have many years to live? Everybody thinks, as they see others dying every day, not me. I'm going to live for 100 years. Well, let me ask you this question. How many people do you really know who live to see 100? Do you think that any of the 59 people who died in that terrible massacre in Las Vegas last week felt when they woke up that morning that it would be their last day? Certainly not. God can call us home at any time, so we must be ready to meet him when he calls. So keep your focus not on earthly things, but on things above. The story is told of a pastor who was invited to the farm of a very wealthy man in Texas for dinner. After dinner, the host took him out to show him around the property, pointing to the oil wells. He boasted, 25 years ago, I had nothing. Now, as far as your eyes can see, it's all mine. Looking in the opposite direction, at the sprawling fields of grain, he said, that's all mine. Turning east toward huge herds of cattle, he bragged, they're all mine. And pointing to the west and the beautiful forest, he exclaimed, that too is all mine. Then he paused, expecting the pastor to compliment him on his great success. The pastor, however, placing one hand on the man's shoulder and pointing heavenward with the other, simply said, how much do you have in that direction? The man stared blankly for a moment, then hung his head and confessed, I never thought of that. My Matthew 6, 19 to 21 says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. Yes. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. It is true that God can bless us with riches, but we must keep things in their proper perspective, with our trust in God and not in those riches. 1 Timothy 6:17 says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. What is most important to you? There's one way to find out, and that is to look at your bank account. Most of your money is spent on what you think is most important to you. Is the church at the bottom of that list or at the top? You say God is most important in your life. Then how is it that you give the least to his work? Remember, my friends, that we are all ambassadors for Christ, sent on a mission. But we will be required at the end of our mission to give a report. At the judgment seat of Christ, every believer will be accountable for his stewardship and motives. What have you done with that which the Lord has entrusted to you? In verse 20, Jesus said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided? Jesus called the man a fool, for he had his priorities all wrong. He might have been rich financially, but very poor in godliness. In verse 21, Jesus said, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. This man was wrong in his timing. He mistook time for eternity. He thought he had many years to live. But the Lord said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. My friends, we must use our days wisely and faithfully, for we know not when the Lord shall call us home. You know, I've been to too many funerals. And I've seen a few things in my lifetime. But I have never seen a funeral procession with a U-Haul trailer being pulled behind the hearse. We came into this world with nothing, and we will leave with nothing. The man was a fool, because when he died that night, all that he had accumulated would belong to someone else. My friends, we own nothing in this world. All is a loan to us for a time, and we will be accountable for how we use it. In verse 22, Jesus said unto the disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on, because the life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Society today places too much emphasis on outward appearance. Too much emphasis on the body. Many pay thousands of dollars to sculpt their bodies into what they think is more attractive. Young women try their best to keep up with the latest fashion. Fashion is so temporary. Have you watched the old game shows from the 70s lately? And see what they're wearing? The jacket lapels are about 10 inches wide, the pants have 2-foot bell bottoms, and the glasses cover the forehead. How quickly what was fabulous becomes ridiculous. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. Romans 12 tells us not to be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Some live to eat. Hello? Not eat to live. But life is more than meat, and the body more than clothing. Then in verse 24, Jesus draws the attention of the disciples to the birds of the air. Consider the ravens, he said. They do not sow seeds, nor do they reap a harvest, neither do they store food away in barns, but God feeds them every day. How much more important are you than they? Don't you think you're more valuable to God than the birds? Let me remind you of how valuable you are. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." He gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to die for you and for me, because he loves us dearly and wishes that none should perish, but that all should come to salvation through the shed blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Then Jesus calls on them not to be warriors, not to put their trust in earthly things, but to put their trust in God. What is there to be gained anyway by worrying? If you're short and you worry about it, does it make you taller? If you're very tall and you worry about it, does it make you shorter? Of course not. Worrying does nothing profitable for you. On the other hand, it can be quite harmful, leaving you with high blood pressure and migraines, strokes, and even more. My friends, God takes care of what belongs to him. Yes. Look at the lilies of the field. How beautifully they grow. They never work a job. And yet Solomon, the richest man who ever lived, was not as beautifully dressed as one of these flowers. So then, if God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? Yes. Brothers and sisters, at the end of your life, what will be important is not how much you have accumulated, but how much you have given. Look for opportunities to help someone else. Look for opportunities to share with someone else the joy of a relationship with Jesus Christ. There is so much more joy that comes from giving to help someone else than from keeping it for yourself. Selfishness is a major problem in the family today. In fact, it is the main cause of divorce. Did you hear what I said? Selfishness is the main cause of divorce. Marriage is a coming together of two. A man and a woman are joined together and become one. In a marriage where the TV is his, the couch couch is hers, the microwave is hers, but the bed is his, there is bound to be conflict. Because you see, if the couch wears out before the TV breaks, there might be an accusation of you sitting too much on my couch. In a true marriage, there is no selfishness. It's all about sharing and caring for each other. The chairman of the community charity called on a notorious miser. "Sir," said the fundraiser, "our records show that despite your wealth, you've never once given to our drive. Do your records show that I have an elderly mother who was left penniless when my father died?" Fumed the tightwad. "Do your records show that I have a disabled brother who is unable to work? Do your records show I have a widowed sister with small children who can barely make ends meet?" "No, sir," replied the embarrassed volunteer. "Our records don't show those things." "Well," said the miser, "I don't give to any of them, so why should I give anything to you?" There is no joy in selfishness. As believers, we're called to love and care about each other, remembering that in as much as we do it unto one of the least of these, we do it unto the Lord. So stop worrying. Stop worrying about tomorrow. Take things one day at a time, knowing that God, who has provided for you thus far, will continue to supply all your needs. Psalm 37:25 says, "I have been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." And finally, in verse 30, Jesus pointed out that we are like pagans when we worry. Because pagans are mostly concerned not about spiritual things, but about material things. God knows we need some material things. And if we truly put him first, he will supply all our needs. Let me ask you something. When you get a gift, which is more important to you? Is it the beautiful packaging with that lovely bow, or is it what is inside the package? Then why are we more concerned about external appearances than the reality of our hearts and souls? This morning, I want you to be sure that your soul is forever secure with the Lord. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." See, Adam and Eve sinned and were separated from a God who is altogether holy, who cannot abide in sin. And because we are all their offspring, we too were all born in sin and therefore separated from a holy God. Romans 6:23 tells us that the wages of sin is death, and that's what we really deserve. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Death, that's what we truly deserve. But thanks be to God for his free gift, the offer of salvation through the shed blood of his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Yes, it's a gift, a free gift. You cannot earn it. You cannot buy it. You cannot inherit it. All you have to do is receive it. Romans 10 verses 9 and 10 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So today I invite you this morning to put your future in God's hands. He will not only meet your spiritual needs, but your material needs as well. With Jesus as your Lord, he will give you a heart that practices kindness and not selfishness. And as you care more about others, others will care more about you. For you see, as a man soweth, so shall he also reap. Put away greed and seek first and foremost the things of God. Proverbs 21:26 says, he coveteth greedily all the day long, but the righteous giveth and spareth not. Why not give your all to Jesus today? Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and will sup with him, and he with me. So during the singing of the invitational hymn, I invite you to walk boldly down this aisle, repenting of your sins and accepting the free gift of salvation, which Jesus alone can give. Come to Jesus and let him save you. Let him cleanse you. Let him bless you. Let him use you to his glory. Amen. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for speaking to us once more through your holy word. And Lord, I pray for anyone within the sound of my voice this morning who has never surrendered their all to you, who has not experienced salvation through accepting your free gift. Lord, give them the wisdom and the courage this morning to step out from their seat, walk boldly down this aisle, repenting of their sins and receiving everlasting life through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We wait upon you now. Have your own way, O Holy Spirit, as we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Our hymn of invitation is number 283. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee.